As many of you know, toward the beginning of this year, we as a church received a prophetic word at one of our prayer meetings. The Lord spoke to us and said, shore up your nets. Shore up your nets. We've probably heard that phrase before at some time in our life if we've walked with Christ for very long. But have you ever really thought about it? What does that mean? What does it mean to shore up your nets? And from praying and meditating on that word, along with studying how it is lines up with God's written word, I've come to some conclusions about what the Lord has said to us as a church and how we need to act upon that word. So in order to help us corporately understand what God has said and help us to join together in doing what God has exhorted us to do, I want to begin this morning by focusing on a couple of passages in God's Word that focus on a couple of different actions taken with nets, if you will, in order to effectively fish and hopefully catch those fish. I don't know about you, I like to fish, but I really think they should have said, I want to go out catching. Because I'm going to be honest, you know, there's some people that, I've seen this bumper sticker that says, even a bad day's fishing is better than a good day's working. Some of you have seen one like that. But how about you? I do not like going out on the lake and just getting my line wet. That is just not a good time to me. I want to catch fish. And I will say that Don and I, when we were on vacation, last year's vacation, we didn't get a chance to do any fishing, actually. This year, we've got out a couple times, and for the first time I think we've ever done this, we limited out both times that we went fishing. Now, that was fun. We did some catching, amen? And so, we don't want to just fish for fish. We want to catch fish. And so, let's look at some examples in Scripture where it talks about fishing. But now the fishing they do is a little different than what we tend to do today, unless I guess you're a professional fisherman somewhere. We tend to just cast our line, right? As Brother Rod says, he likes to be casting and blasting. You know, if it's brown, it's down. If it flies, it dies. You know, that's Brother Rod's famous phrase. But let's look at what goes into fishing with a net versus just a pole. Okay, let's begin by looking at Matthew 4:18 through 22. It says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. So we've got casting nets as one aspect of fishing with a net, and we've got mending nets as another aspect of fishing. And he called to them, meaning Jesus, to these two, and he said, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Now, notice in this passage, Jesus called four different men to follow him. And all four men were fishermen. And an interesting detail we see in this passage is what these men were doing when Jesus called them. They were actually working at their trade. And one of the things that stood out to me, Pastor Keith said one time, as he said, you know, by and large, when you see God calling people, Jesus calling people, more than not, you see him doing it while they're working. And I thought that was interesting. And so here were these men working at their trade, fishing, when Jesus called them. But here's there's a distinction now between the first two Jesus called versus the second two. Simon and Andrew, the first two, were casting a net. But James and John, who were with their father in the boat, were mending their nets. So there's two different actions that were taking place. And it's important that we highlight both of these actions because both of them were necessary for fulfilling the purpose for which the nets were made, and that is to catch fish, right? And so as we will see, these two actions are also important when it comes to catching people. Jesus told his disciples they would become fishers of men, right? So would that stand to reason that he's also calling us to be fishers of men as well? So let's look at these two actions in a little more detail that are necessary for catching fish. And then we're going to apply those actions to catching people, all right? First of all, the nets were that the fishermen used, one of the actions was mending the nets. And a net, the reason these nets needed to be mended was a net went back and forth between being wet and dry and from being in the sun to being in the water to being in the sun, and then it dried them out. Therefore, they were prone to weakened spots where they'd either dried out or if they weren't dried out quickly, they could mold. So this was an issue of why they needed to take care of, if you will, or wash their nets from time to time. Secondly, there was a constant strain on the nets from being thrown into the water because there were small stone weights that were added to the perimeter of the net that would act like we would use a sinker on a line to bring, you know, otherwise they would just sit there and float on the surface. So they needed a means to cause the nets to drop deeper into the water. So with the weight of these sinkers, it would pull on the net. So that created a certain amount of strain. In addition to that, as the nets were pulled back either ashore or into a boat, they also faced fraying that would come from being pulled over the wooden edge of the boat or possibly over the rocks as the fish would be brought to shore. Beyond that, there were also tearing dangers that existed with the nets, from snags on sharp rocks to submerged trees, and eventually that would also take a toll on the nets. And finally, as we'll see a bit later in Luke chapter 5, verse 6, due to the weight of fish that were caught in a net, if there was a good catch, it would put a strain on the nets and that they would be stressed to the point of even breaking. So because of all these different stresses and strains that existed to a net, there was a need to mend them, probably on a fairly regular basis if they were fishing effectively. So one of the common practices of a Galilean fisherman is they would spend a fair amount of time mending their nets. They would sit on shore, and section by section, they would look over the haul ropes, the mesh of the actual net itself, all of the knots that held it together, and also the small weights that were dangling from the edges. As you can imagine, this was a slow, methodical part of the process, but it was necessary to keep the nets ready to be able to catch fish. So the nets had to be washed, mended, stored, and always ready, or the fishing would come to a standstill. And where Dawn and I, we enjoyed fishing, so yeah, we wanted to have a good catch. These men's well-being and income depended upon it. So they wanted to make sure things were in order. Could you imagine, you know, Dawn and I, we like to troll fish. We like to troll for crappie. And the reason we did so well this year, we found a bait that they were really biting on. And so, man, but if any of you have ever done any fishing, crappies have a really soft mouth. And so when we're trolling, they like a moving bait. They'll hit that hook, and you can feel your pole go, you know, you can feel it instantly. And then you're like, yeah! And, you know, so you start reeling like crazy because what happens is those crappie will come up to the surface of the water. They just automatically do. And they'll start flopping around and they'll flop that hook right out of their mouth. And you'll lose them. And you know, it's a good thing Don and I are Christians because that happens more often than you would like it to. You know? And so if I get bummed out because I lose one, could you imagine men whose life depended upon their trade in fishing getting a huge hole in their net and losing a big catch of fish? That would put a damper on your income. And so if I'm disappointed in just losing a fish that way, I can't even imagine what they would feel like losing a whole net full of fish, or even a dozen or more, you know, just one little leak spot that they just keep falling out of. So they needed to make sure they were mending the nets. Now, here's where this applies to you and me. I'm sure you didn't come this morning just to hear a nice fishing lesson, naturally speaking, right? So here's what we need to understand. When it comes to fishing with a net in the kingdom of God, we need to understand that all of us together, as members of the body of Christ, make up God's net for fishing. Each and every one of us is a strand within that net. And if one strand is missing, or it's not tied, it's not connected to the rest of the net, it leaves a hole. Amen? Okay? Now, this is important because I wonder how many in the body of Christ today see themselves as being that significant to the whole. We are such an individualistic-minded culture, we think it's just me and Jesus. Isn't that how we often respond in the church? It's just me and Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus doesn't look at it that way. And that's why the Bible also calls us the body of Christ. You've heard that, right? The hand can't say to the eye, or the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the eye shouldn't say to itself, you know, because I'm not like someone else, well, I'm not an important part of the body. Well, the same holds true when it comes to being the net by which God wants to catch fish with. There's not a person in this room this morning that is not an important part of seeing that catch occur. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not here, if you're missing, or if you're not connected, it's just, I come to church, I have my own personal experience with God, and I go back out, and it's just me and Jesus, and I don't connect the dots to realize that I need to be connected to each, every other part of the body of Christ, then what you don't understand is you leave a hole in the net. Yes, you are important to the kingdom of God. Yes, you have a role in the kingdom of God. And so the very fact that you are here, that you are present, and that you are connecting with the body makes us ready for catching. Amen? But listen, how much energy do we spend in the church trying to get people to just show up? How much energy in the church? You know, we're having an event this weekend. You know, how many feel the responsibility, not just, well, I don't need that. You know, I already get that, you know, what they're going to talk about. I've been on the first impressions team for quite a while. Why do I need that? I know what my job is, right? And when we think like that, and we don't think that we need to be a part, we're not functioning with this kind of mindset. We're functioning with a me and Jesus mindset. And that it's not that important that I be present. It is important that you're present. Because what you miss, what those that were there got, if you don't know it and they do, and we're trying to move forward and you don't know because you weren't here. Now again, don't hear me flopping a guilt trip on you. But I do want you to get an understanding of the personal responsibility we have to the corporate body to be able to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given us, and that's to be fishers of men. So, we're each a part of the strand of the net. We're a strand in the net of a whole. So, our presence and our participation matters in the body of Christ. Secondly, each part of the net, in other words, each person, is interconnected and interdependent on the other strands. Would you agree? So if the strands aren't tied together, in other words, in unity, then that leaves a hole in the net. So if we're not present, there's a hole in the net. And if we are present, but we're not connected, we're just by our, you know, functioning independent of the rest of the body, that leaves a hole in the net. Would you agree? Do you understand that we are the net? There is no other net. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, right? We have to do that together. See, yeah, I believe that there's both kinds of fishing are necessary. I believe pole fishing is good. We did pretty well this summer. One-on-one poles. And that should include personal evangelism. We need to be doing that. When's the last time you've talked with someone about Jesus Christ, about their life? When's the last time you've tried to take a conversation and move it from just surface issues or just general discussion to matters that relate to Jesus? So we do need to be doing personal evangelism. That's part of the way we catch fish, right? But I think something that's majorly neglected today is net fishing. I really have been referring to this over the last couple of weeks about how we as a church need to get out together in the community to praise and bring the presence of God in different places in this community. To pray and break down the strongholds in this community. To preach the gospel together. What would that do if people saw a whole group of people, not just two street preachers on a soapbox going at it? And Pastor Keith says, don't mock that, because that's the way he came to know Jesus Christ, was through some street preachers. But what would happen? I'm really, you know, when what we saw at Heart for the Next Generation, this is, I'm telling you, this has stirred me to say, what would happen if we together as a church would come together as that net, everyone present, everyone connected, to reach this city? We don't see that, do we? But Jesus said to this church, shore up your nets. That's you and me. That's you and me. And I don't think, like Don and myself, he just wants us to go fishing for the fun of it. I think he wants us to catch some people. What do you think? Amen? Amen? A net must also be made of quality material. So when a catch of fish occurs, it holds together and doesn't break. Now, what do I mean by that? The truth is, we need to have love for one another. Amen? We need to work together. We need, and I'm going to tell you, if we're going to do that, how many think there's going to be occasions, as we're about the business of the kingdom, that two different people see something two different ways, and they get a little bit offended about something? It happens all the time in the church. Or Jesus wouldn't have said things, and the disciples or some of the writers of the epistles wouldn't have written things like, forgive one another, accept one another, love one another, be kind to one another, right? That those phrases assume that there's going to be conflicts from time to time. And that we've got to see that the net is more important than me as that one little strand getting weak and potentially deciding to break away because I didn't like how that strand over there decided that he was going to take over. Right? So that has to do with our character, does it not? And so there are things that we need to make sure that, yeah, there are times when we do need some mending in the church, right? If we experience challenges, and we will, when it comes to the mission God has given us, then we need to receive healing. Maybe we need to have our character strengthened. Maybe we need to grow in God's Word. Maybe we need to either receive or give love from one another, amen, or to one another, or forgive a misunderstanding or offense. In reality, we need to extend grace to one another. That is how the net gets mended, folks. That's how we get mended with one another, when we respond to one another in grace. All right, but here's the next question. If washing and mending nets were all that fishermen spent their time doing, how many fish would they catch? Not many, would they? But how many would agree that rather than catching fish, that we tend to spend most of our time in the church today mending the church? What do we spend more time doing in the church, honestly? Don't people come to the church for, will it heal my marriage? Will it help me feel better? Yes. We come to get mended. When are we finally going to get mended as a whole body and finally go out and start catching something? Now, again, take that rightly. Take that as an exhortation. Because the reality is, this is not uncommon. This is what much of the church is doing today. It's all about mending our own selves. And the pastor's got to run around trying to help this strand of the net get along with this strand of the net. Or not reject this strand of the net because they're different than me. I don't like how they do things, you know. And so that's what the pastor gets to have fun doing. He gets to go around trying to fix things with the body of Christ. Rather than the body of Christ finally getting mature enough to say, you know what, I need to plug in, be whole, walk in my identity in Christ, know that I'm loved by God, and walk in victory, and love one another so that we can get this mission done that Jesus has called us to. Amen? So we need to start spending more time being casted than being mended. If we're never casted, are we going to catch fish? I mean, the truth is, isn't the purpose of the net to catch fish, to hold fish, and to bring them into the boat? Isn't that really what the purpose of why we're here is? See, if we're constantly being mended, we're not fulfilling our purpose. Gee, what's happening in the United States of America today with the body of Christ? Are we fulfilling our purpose, or are we all just being mended all the time? Right? How many think we need to do some more catching, holding, and bringing people into the body of Christ than we're doing? How many think that includes us? Well, in order to do that, how many think we need to be casted where the fish are? a whole lot more than we've been doing. Would you agree, even with us as a church, than we've been doing? Well, as I said last week, that's going to take some sacrifice. That's going to take some selflessness. That's going to be willing to defer what I want and what I'm living for and what I like and what I desire and what's best for me and mine. Now, God's not against all of that. But Jesus did say, did he not? I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Do we have the same attitude that Jesus has? Are we willing to not just be served, because that's a mending aspect, right? But to serve and to give our lives, lay our lives down for the sake of that world out there, just like Jesus did. That's what we're called to. But now here's something we need to consider about casting nets. Okay? Because how easy does the body of Christ get discouraged when they don't see results? Now don't get me wrong. I just said, I want to see results. I'm tired of just dipping something in the water and coming up empty. But the reality is, there's been a number of times Dawn and I went out and I might catch something that big that I had to throw back anyway, and I didn't come home with a lot. But nonetheless, should that stop us from going fishing? All right? So, did the fishermen, the Galileans, Peter and Andrew, James and John, did they catch something every time they casted their nets? No. But could they afford to let a dry run keep them from casting their nets in the future? Or even, let's say, in a different place. You know, that's something that Dawn and I did this year. The first day we went fishing, there was a part of the lake. We were trolling back and forth. They were biting like crazy. The next day we went there, well, we might get one once in a while. So we said, well, let's try a different part of the lake. So we went down to a different section. They started biting in that section of the lake again. Why that is, I don't ask me. You know, why do people, some people say yes to Jesus like that, and others it's like you could give them your best stuff. And it's like, didn't Jesus talk about the different kinds of heart soil, right? Well, that's what we're dealing with. But we don't always know what we're dealing with. So we got to keep fishing, right? All right, well, let's look at an occasion when Peter and his crew had a dry run and what happened. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing, this is Jesus, of course, by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. So that means they were done for the day, as far as fishing goes. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. So now we're talking about Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, notice Jesus didn't say, let down your nets for a try. He said, let down your nets for a catch. But listen to good old Simon Peter's response. Simon answered and said, Master, as if to say, we're the fishermen here. This is our trade, right? We worked hard all night and caught nothing. But look at Peter. At least he had this much sense. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. Now I want to ask you, How many of us have been like Peter? We've tried to witness to people a couple times, and they might have looked at us funny, or we didn't have the results that we thought we should have. And so, we're thinking, what's the use? Why bother with this? Well, how many know if you allow that to become your mindset, then it's going to be very difficult when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and knocks on your heart's door to say, I want you to share. I want you to talk with this person. I want you to pray with this person. Or what about receive a gift of the Spirit, like a word of knowledge on behalf of that person? Or a gift of healing. We're like, we're so caught up in the fact that this culture is so hard-hearted. The Supreme Court just changed, the laws on marriage, and now we're in this abortion thing, and people are all over the place. I mean, this culture doesn't want to hear about Jesus anymore. How many of us can get just like Peter and get caught up into a mindset like that? And we've gotten so we won't talk to anyone about the Lord. We can be guilty of that, can't we? Because we think, why bother? What's the use? Well, this is why. Because the Lord said so. And I hope that you at least will be as obedient as Peter was. And because the Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations, whether you can see something's going to result out of it or not, you'll still be willing to open your mouth when the time is right. And the Spirit of God says, I want you to do something. And whether you think you can see something or you can't see that person's heart. You don't know what's in that person. You don't know what that person has just gone through in life. You don't know what the Spirit of God's been doing to prepare that person's heart for that very word that He's prompting you to share. Now, yes, you're going to have dry runs. But let's not stop fishing just because we have. Amen? Verse 6, so when they had done this, Peter obeyed. They enclosed a great quantity of fish. Now, wouldn't that be awesome? And their nets began to break. Are you ready? I'm telling you what, if five families came into this church, would this net be strong enough and be together enough and working as one unit to hold on to those five families and keep them here? That's a little provoking question, isn't it? I'm not sure I can answer that. Can you? I want to answer that. But if we could effectively do that, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying if they come in, let's not run them off. That's not what I'm saying. Please. But could we care for them? Could we protect them? Could we equip them? Could we nurture them? Could we help them to get woven in as a part of the net? Could we do that? Or is there a reason that the Lord told us at the beginning of the year, shore up your nets? Right? That's you and me, is it not? So here's what happened. The nets began to break, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Gee, that would be a problem to have. How would you like it? This service instantly just got so filled up, we got to have a second service. Woo! You know? Well, I'm going to ask you something. If that happened, how many think Pastor Scott's going to be going, help? Right? Help! I don't know what to do with all these fish. Oh, no. Okay, I'm glad you said that, because guess what? He's already been helping. He's already one of the crew members that's been out on the boat. So guess what he's going to be saying too? Help! Right? So they cried help, and it says their partners, their companions came out, and they seized him and all his companions because they were amazed at the size of fish they had taken. Verse 10, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Can you imagine that? They just had this huge catch. Huge catch. Breaking nets. Help! The whole nine yards. They just said, now we want to go do that with people. That's where it gets important. That's where it gets real. Amen? Well, guess what? That's your and my calling, to do this with people. And so from this passage, here are some principles we need to apply to not just catching fish in the natural, but catching people. Number one, we've already touched on it. Not every time we go out fishing will produce a catch. However, that doesn't mean we give up on fishing. Amen? So when it comes to fishing for people, let's not just put our eyes on what we see in the culture and how hard-hearted people are. Let's instead put our eyes on Jesus and what he's called us to do. Let's put our eyes there. Secondly, we need to follow the leading of the Lord when he tells us where and when to go fishing. And when it doesn't make sense to us, or we don't even feel like it. Did Peter feel like, after washing his nets, going out again? But when the Lord says, church, I want you to go out there and drop your nets, are you willing to do like they did and do what he says? And drop everything else instead. Amen? And thirdly, holding on to a catch requires a team. Individuals cannot do it by themselves. And so if we as a church want to successfully hold on to the catch of fish God wants to give us, here's something that has become very apparent to me personally over this last year. Our current leadership team of LifeGate Community Church cannot accomplish this on our own. We cannot. I'm just going to share my heart with you this morning. With all that we already have responsibility to do, as much as I don't like it, things have been falling through the cracks. We have been, we do work full-time and pastor this church. I'm going to tell you, folks, there have been visitors that have come to this church that there's not enough hours in the day for us to be able to get to and follow up on like we need to. And we have not been able to do it. I can't have a message ready on Sunday, teach a discipleship class, be the worship leader of this church on Monday nights, lead prayer meeting on Sunday nights, prepare for all of that, and get to every one of you the way I should as your pastor and minister to you effectively. Not to mention, have a life with my wife. And we don't even have children. I cannot even imagine what this would be like if we did. I've come to the conclusion, this is as big as we're going to get if we keep operating that way. It isn't working. Now, I'm not discouraged. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the fact that we haven't grown more than we have. That, you know, but I'm going to be honest with you. For the first 6 months of this year, I have been discouraged. You don't see that all the time. Some of you have, because I'll let the discipleship groups in on it a little bit here and there, just because I've got to have an outlet somewhere with someone who sees it every day, if you will. I don't like that there's three rows of pews and there's not a person sitting in that row. I don't like that. I'm just being honest. But we have come to the end of our threshold. And honestly, this is as big as, I mean, yeah, we could have a couple more family, but we will keep ebbing and flowing and ebbing and flowing. We have plateaued to our ability to be able to mend the flock. And therefore, the flock can effectively be casted out. Okay? So, this is a reality of where we're at, and I've just had to be honest with myself, with the Lord, and now I'm being honest with you. We need help. That's what my call is today. Help. We need help. The leadership team. Jason and Karen have two daughters. We meet on monthly planning meetings on Friday nights because Sundays are now usually full. Those girls are involved in sports, activities. They need to be parents to their children. They sacrifice in ways that probably only Dawn and I really know. And even then, we probably don't know fully. And I'm just going to be honest, you know, I don't even remember what it was this morning. You don't cry on me, Karen, because you're messing me up. No, you go ahead. There was something I asked her about this morning, and she says, no, I forgot about that. And in the midst of us, there's too much of that going on. And it frustrates the tar out of all of us. It frustrates ourselves with ourselves, and we get frustrated with one another because we know things aren't getting done that need to get done. Okay, now, I'm going to take first responsibility for it all because I'm the leader of this ship. And I've been trying to do it, thinking that I could. Well, I can't. And so something's got to change. Amen? Something's got to change. Now, I told you the first 6 months I was discouraged. Well, the last, since we got back from vacation, what we saw down at Heart for the Next Generation when we went down to be with Danielle, even before the conference occurred, I saw what Scott was doing with the impact team in terms of worship and praise and prayer, and they were out in a public setting doing it. They weren't just in a little corner of the church somewhere doing it. And I watched how Scott was facilitating that. Praise and worship was going on, testimonies, encouragement. And it was out, you know, they had a little microphone and speaker, so it was going, you know, people around them could hear it. We weren't being embarrassed that somebody might hear us. Yeah, that was the point. Amen. Amen. And then we went to Heart for the Next Generation, and we saw it on an even bigger scale. And the Lord began to stir something into me, is that this could be the strategy of the hour. This is how we take the light into the culture as a net, not just as a bunch of poles. And we do it together. And so what if somebody comes and they don't like it and they rant? Well, if that happens to you and me, me and somebody one-on-one, the first thing I tend to do is want to turn on my heels and go, I don't want to deal with that. How about you? But if they come and do that to a whole group of us, well, you know what? I'm going to turn to you and say, let's pray. Let's encourage one another. Because you and me know we're doing what Jesus has called us to do. And there's a safety net that we're linked up to with one another. Amen? And so we can make a difference. So I shared my heart with you because we can't do it without you, church. We cannot do it without you. But where I was feeling somewhat discouraged before, I'm now encouraged. You know, the last few weeks, we haven't seen a lot of visitors. Pastors look for things like that. And it's summertime, so we've been low in numbers, you know, in terms of who's been here, who hasn't been here. And I'll tell you, I will walk home on Sundays and that will just be playing in my mind. Okay? Now again, it's not about all that. But let's be honest, every number, let's not call them a number, let's call them a soul who is a person created in the image of God who needs Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I would go, and that would typically discourage me. But I'm not discouraged. I'm going to tell you why. It's because I think the Lord has had, you know, we go through seasons where he kind of allows us to experience the pressure of things, right? He didn't create it. But it's like he lets us get our eyes opened to some things. And I think what excites me is that my eyes have been opened to the reality of, yep, this is where we are. But now we can go in a different direction. Now we can do something differently that can be more effective, and we can do it together. So here's some of the ways, and I'm going to end with this, how we're going to be wanting to gain some help from all of you. One of the ways that you can begin to help is because this weekend, next weekend with Pastor Rick, is about this. This will help us. I know Pastor Rick. Some of you have heard Pastor Rick. I'm not kidding you. I think Larry probably liked him as much as anybody at Band of Brothers last year because he's a very leadership-minded person. He will be able to help us turn our focus in this direction. And that's what he's coming here for. So, will you be here? Will you connect? Okay, that's the first step. We got to get our vision focused together, right? If half of the net thinks we got to be casted this way and half of the net thinks we got to be casted that way, that don't work so well. We got to be casted in the same direction. We got to come under the same vision. And if you're not here to hear the vision, how are you going to know what direction we're headed in? So I'm asking you to come. Because this is part of what we're going to be focusing on, are the things that I'm talking about. Okay? Secondly, we're going to be establishing this fall our new group system. We're in the midst of getting that set. We're going to need leaders. We're going to need apprentice leaders. We as the leadership team have already been discussing this. Various ones that we feel have, you know the principle of this house, if you're faithful with a little, we'll entrust you with more. So those that we sense have been faithful and we can entrust that if we put people into their care, they'll be there and they'll be connected and they'll care for those people. Okay? But not everybody can be a leader. You've heard the saying before, we have too many chiefs and not enough Indians, right? So not everybody's going to be a leader, but let me tell you this. You need to be a part of the tribe. Amen. Can I just say this? You need to be in a group. And not just so you can go to the group to be mended some more. If you need that, absolutely. But when some of those new fish come into that group, have they got somebody else there besides just the leader and the apprentice leader that they can connect with and hook up to be a part of the net? See, being a part of a group, we need to get out of the mindset that the reason I go to the group for is just so what I can get out of it. Maybe you need to be a part so that somebody else can get out of it something. And guess what? If we are the Christians, if we are the church, if we are the people of God, if we are not coming to be served, but to serve and to give our lives as a ransom for many, then we need to be in a group so that when that new person comes into the church, they've got somebody to connect with. That's a part of being holding onto the catch as a net. Right? You're already a part of the net. But be there so we can hold on to the fish as they come, as we go get them. So we're going to be establishing those groups, and we need some of you to be leaders. We need some of you to be apprentice leaders. And we need everybody to be in a group. Now, I realize there's times and schedules and things of that nature. But can we do at least this? Can we go the extra mile to do what we can to be a part of this process so we can catch and hold and bring the fish into this boat? The life groups I see are kind of like the net. Honestly, the groups can hold people because they make a connection point. And I look at Sunday morning worship as like bringing the nets into the boat. So when we gather on Sunday, we're in the boat. Guess what? We're all in the boat today. How many people are not in the boat, and how many people are not in the nets? Right? So we need that. And then finally, we're looking for people who will engage. We've talked about, I'm already tell you, we decided August 23rd. So that's the Sunday after the Saturday we're going to Planned Parenthood. That Sunday evening is when we're going to go pray at the schools this year again. Will you join us? See, this is part of the strategy, if you will, we've already been talking about. Will you make time to join with us to go pray for every school in this community? Okay? That's one thing. Will you go to Planned Parenthood? Will you do this movie? And here's the last thing. And Jason and I already talked about this yesterday. We don't have this in rock stone, but I'm just going to tell you, there could be a whole lot of stuff that God has going for us this fall to get this in place, get this going, okay? Let me just try to remember it all really quickly, and then I'll end it with that. Next weekend, Pastor Rick. The weekend after that, Planned Parenthood and going out and praying at the schools. Okay? The weekend after that, now we're like, uh-oh, this is starting to cramp my schedule a little. Right? The weekend after that is the movie. The weekend after that is Labor Day weekend. And then here's an opportunity. And I'm going to talk with some people about this. But Scott Heldreth, who was the orchestrator of Heart for the Next Generation, told me, he says, this is best done in the summer, but he would be willing to come to our church, bringing a couple worship people with him for a weekend to talk about evangelism strategies that he uses of that nature, and then take as many as would go and actually go out into the community and do it. Okay? And be with us for the whole weekend. Now, we have not scheduled that. We have not any of that. And the reason we be in, and I talked with Jason about it yesterday, I said, what do you think? Do you think the church would, that's a lot of things to do, okay? And then, mind you, then 2 weeks after that is when Pastor Keith comes. And Penny's going to be here this year, so ladies, you don't want to miss that. Life chain. Okay? That's a lot of stuff. But I'm telling you what, look at the net casting opportunities. Amen? Now, some people are going to say, geez, that reminds me when I was a kid and I was raised in the church and they forced me to go to church 5 times a week. I mean, that's, you know, if we're doing this for religious reasons, we've missed it. If we're doing this because we have to, as opposed to that's what we're called to, then cash in your chips, forget it, okay? But I will tell you this, that's not in place yet. I'm just curious. Well, I'm not going to do this because I'm not going to embarrass people. But don't be surprised, because I am going to go to some individuals. Because, okay, here's the last thing we want to do. Along with that life group, the leaderships in that, we also want to develop what we call a secondary team. Not in value, just in role. A secondary team who helps us care for and pastor this church. So that when people are missing, they're contacted, they're followed through, they're prayed with. We're looking at going to some people to develop a team like that. Honestly, that will probably morph into very quickly that we're going to ask our life group leaders and apprentice leaders to be that team, if that makes sense. Because that fits, because then they can get them and really pastor them, shepherd, minister to them in their groups, okay? So these are things that we're going to do. But this is going to take, how many already kind of figured this out? This is going to take some commitment on our part. Amen? But what are we on this planet for? Why are we here? That's what we're here for. Amen? So I hope this is stirring you up a little bit. I hope you're getting excited about this. Okay, but I will be talking, we'll be approaching some of those people, so don't be surprised if someone comes to you and said, would you participate in that? Will you be able to set aside that time to do that extra activity? Okay, so just letting you know, I realize it's a lot on the calendar, but welcome to ministry. I'm serious. Folks, this is the life that we've been living. Dawn and I have been living this life ever since we started this church. Please do not insult me by saying, well, that's because you're the pastor. You're going to stand before God someday and give an account for what He's called you to. And I, as your pastor, have been called to call you to it. Amen? Let's get our boots on. Amen. And go to work. Let's pray.